Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. We are continuing in the Gospel of Mark and continuing with this theme of sowing the seed. The past couple of messages from Mark 4 have been about the seed. If you remember the parable of the sower, where the sower goes out and casts the seed abroad, and Jesus telling the disciples the interpretation of that, and then Jesus telling them about not hiding a candle under a bushel, but to be set on a candlestick so that things will be manifest, and not the gospel is not being hid, but that we need to have our understandings enlightened to be able to come to it, that it is something that people are not expecting to see. They're expecting to hear that they're going to have to work hard to earn salvation. Or as the Jews' case, that they, because they were Jewish and a child of Abraham by the flesh, that they would be in the kingdom of God. But that has to be stripped away. And then someone to come to Christ and to be careful what we're listening to, because it can have a massive impact on your life, whether you're listening or not listening to the words of life which come from His Word. And that brings us to Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. And it's going to continue this theme of the seed. And we're going to see a few things about it concerning the Spirit of God and how the Spirit moves and works with the seed of the gospel. I'm going to read verses 26 through 34 of Mark chapter 4. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." So it is very important for us, as we consider these two parables, to be in the context. Be in the context of what Jesus is saying here in Mark. Because there are parables of the kingdom in Matthew, in Luke, and there are things that are said by Jesus concerning the kingdom of God that are fantastic in a good way. And it is showing us things that we will one day see. And very often, people will read those things into any parable of the kingdom. And they'll do that with these parables. And they'll read what they hear from other parables into these. And they'll lose the context of what's being said. And that's very important for us to make sure that we're within the context, because I believe there are lessons that we can learn from these parables that we would miss if we were just reading into it what we have learned from other places. So the context is important. You remember these previous parables that we've just mentioned briefly, the parable of the sower. Now the sower goes out to cast the seed. And the seed is cast, and what's the focus of the parable of the sower? Is it the seed? Or is it the seed germinating in the good soil? It's germinating in the good soil and growing up and bearing fruit, which is evidence of eternal life. That's the picture of a Christian. There are those four pictures in the sower, in the parable of the sower. There is the wayside, there is the rocky ground, there is the thorny ground, and the good soil. And the only one that's a Christian is the one in the good soil. So the picture is, the sower is broadcasting the gospel. The seed, the gospel seed, lands on the good ground and grows up. And the person is a Christian. And then Jesus, when he gives that interpretation to the disciples, he explains this to them so that they can understand. And if you're listening to this and you don't necessarily understand all of that, you can go back a few weeks and listen to it online to make sure that you do. But Jesus moves on and he says, is a candle put under a bushel? And we talked about this a few weeks ago, that here we think that we understand things. We're expecting certain things, just as the Jews were. The Jews were expecting a Messiah to come and rule and reign with a rod of iron, to put all enemies under their feet. But Jesus came to die on the cross for sinners. That's why he came. That's what his purpose was. And they didn't understand that, and they weren't going to understand that until the other aspect was stripped away. Until it was revealed to them that no, just because they're Jewish doesn't mean that they're going to be in the kingdom of God. And we need that same understanding. That just because we see ourselves as a good person doesn't mean we're going to be in the kingdom of God. That just because we may have been born into a Christian family doesn't mean that we're going to be in the family of God. Just because we live in a nation that has called itself a Christian nation for the past couple of centuries doesn't mean that we're going to be in the kingdom of God. We need those things stripped away from us so that we can understand that the gospel seed needs to take root and needs to change us from being lost to being found, from being blind to having sight. Because the truth as it goes out, if that truth is not trusted and believed, that truth will be stripped away. At one point, whether it's in this life or the next, that truth will be removed from us. And we will not be able to believe it. That's the context of what Jesus is saying. And it's followed up by the concluding verses of this section, verses 33 and 34. And he says, "And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it." He was speaking to them where they were. Not where they were sitting, obviously, but where they were at their point in their understanding. And he was using parables to strip away the wrong understanding and give them a right understanding as they were able. So those that were able to understand something, they got it. And they grew from it. And those that weren't did not have that success. And it says that he did not expound anything to these people in this chapter without it being in a parable. Because they had to not understand so they could understand. They had to realize their failings before they could come to Christ. Before they can come to the Messiah. But when he was alone, he expounded all these things to his disciples. He explained it all to them. They were the ones that were asking questions. They were the ones that were following up. Lord, I didn't understand what you're talking about with the seed. Please give me understanding. And he did. He gave them understanding. So we've got this picture of the seed being cast. The seed being cast by the sower. And it's broadcast and it falls on the ground. And then all of a sudden we're at the end and it's bearing fruit. Well, how does that take place? Where does it go from being cast into the ground to bearing fruit at the end? Well, that's what he gives us in the next parable. In verses 26 through 29. You see this, and it says, "And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day. And the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Now when I was a young Christian, I was taught things, and I was taught that this parable was about the end times. That this parable was about when the harvest is come, and the Lord will collect his people. That's the harvest. The kingdom is going to grow so great, and he's going to harvest them. That's the mindset of people. That's not what this parable is speaking about. Nowhere in this passage, nowhere in this greater chapter, nowhere in this portion of Scripture is Jesus speaking about the end times. There's nowhere where he's speaking about judgment to come. He's speaking about the here and now. And that's something that we have to keep in mind. The context is important. We have to keep in mind of the verses that have gone on before and the verses that will follow and what he's speaking about. He's talking about seed being sown in an individual. The seed of the gospel being sown as it's proclaimed, as they hear it, into the individual. And the seed is sown. But what takes place from there? Well, that's exactly what this parable is telling us. is what is taking place from there. You see, the Holy Spirit is what brings the seed to maturity. The Holy Spirit is the one that is even in the casting of the seed. But the Holy Spirit is the one that uses the seed to convict of sin, to convict of righteousness, to convict of judgment to come. That's the work of the Spirit as the seed goes forth. In John 16, verses 7 through 16. You turn there. Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you the things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." You think about this. The Spirit is here to convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. What's taking place when the seed is sown? You look at verse 28 of Mark chapter 4. "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear." You see, there's a progression there. There's a progression for the seed as it's growing into maturity. That doesn't mean that the person's a Christian when it's a blade, or when it's in the ear, or in the full corn. What is it? When is the person a Christian? Is when they bear fruit, just like the parable of the sower was talking about. The parable of the sower says it's the one that goes in the good soil does what? It grows up and bears fruit, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Well, here he repeats that. There's fruit that comes. There's fruit that's brought forth. And how is it brought forth? It's brought forth by the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit that makes it grow. It's the Spirit that brings it to fruition. It is the kingdom of God that is brought to maturity in a believer. That's the harvest. In verse 29, he says, "But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." What's the harvest? That's a good question. Because in so many people's minds, so many Christians' minds, they think the harvest is when Jesus comes again. And any Christian is brought up to him. But that's not the way that the harvest is used by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not the way he uses the word harvest. In Luke chapter 10, he says unto his disciples as he's going to send them out, he says, "Therefore he said he unto them, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." It's the same thought process here about the harvest and the seeds been planted. What's the harvest he's talking about as he's sending the 70 out? He's talking about his people. He's talking about that as they go out, they are going to be bringing souls to Jesus Christ. That souls will be saved. That's what he's talking about. That's the harvest that's taking place. It's not that they're going to be gathered into heaven. That's not the harvest. The harvest is the conversion of a sinner. That's the harvest. And that's exactly in this parable when he's speaking, what's the culmination of the kingdom of God? It is when the kingdom of God is present in a new believer. The kingdom of God has come. The harvest has come. The harvest is here. That's not the only time that he uses it in such a way. Over in John chapter 4, verses 31 through 38. In this passage, he has been speaking with the woman at the well. And you remember that conversation that takes place. And she goes into town. And she tells everybody exactly what Jesus has said to her. And his disciples come back. And his disciples come back to Jesus. And it says in verse 31, "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat." Because remember, they had gone into town to get some food for him. They said, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Has any man brought him to aught to eat?" Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that hath sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. That you get the idea here? Here's Jesus speaking to the disciples, and they don't understand. They're missing the beat. They think, well, somebody's fed them. Somebody's given them food, and he says, you don't understand that I have meat that you don't know about. And it's not physical food, it's spiritual food. And then he goes back to the harvest and he says, you say, well, we still have 4 months to the harvest. But no, the harvest is here. What's he talking about? He's talking about the woman at the well. He's talking about the people in the town that are going to come out. And they're going to listen to Jesus. And a few days later, they're going to say to the woman at the well, at first we believed because what you said. But now we believe because we've seen him. And we've spoken to him and we've heard him. And we believe him. That's the harvest. It was white, ready to be reaped. The harvest of souls. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God comes when a soul is converted. That's the harvest. Again in John chapter 3. And this is the one that connects it with the Spirit of God. John chapter 3 verses 5 through 8. This is when Nicodemus has come to Christ by night. And he says, you know, we know that you've come from God. And Jesus says, you don't understand anything. Basically, that's what he says to Nicodemus. You don't understand what you're talking about. Because you're not in the kingdom of heaven. You need to be born again. This is that very veil being ripped away. Nicodemus thought he was fine. He was a Jew. He was going to enter into the kingdom of God. But Jesus rips that veil away and says, you must be born again. You must have a conversion. And Nicodemus doesn't understand. How is this possible? And he says to him in verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Now hearest not the sound thereof, hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. That sounds a little reminiscent, doesn't it, of Mark chapter 4, where the farmer sows the seed, and night and day he rises, he checks on it, he goes to sleep, he gets up in the morning, he checks on it again, and suddenly it's springing up, and he doesn't know how. How is it happening? How is it growing from a seed into a stalk, and eventually into a full ear, a full stalk of grain, ready to be harvested? How is that possible? That's because it's the Spirit of God at work. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. That's the work of the Spirit. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That's the seed growing up. That's the Spirit bringing it to full maturity. And the harvest is that conversion that takes place. That's the connection that you get from the context. From these parables of the kingdom. The parables of the seed. As it's sown into good soil and growing up into fruit. But it doesn't stop there. You know, we go on to the next parable in verse 30. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. So let me say something about what most people think of concerning this parable. The commentators that I read, they say the exact same thing that I was taught. And I don't buy it. I'm not saying that I'm somebody that's brilliant or anything else, but when you look at the context of this, and you keep it in the context of what Jesus is saying, it's not talking about the kingdom of God growing into the whole earth and the mustard seed, the mustard tree, being the greatest bush, the greatest tree that there ever will be, because the whole world's going to flock to it. But that's exactly the way they interpret that parable. That somehow or other the gospel seed is planted and the kingdom of God grows and grows and grows into this wonderful mustard bush, which is bigger than all the other herbs of the garden, and therefore that's the kingdom of God. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the seed that's planted in an individual. That's the kingdom of God. A seed in an individual, not some invisible church growing into the all over the earth. It's an individual situation. If you are a child of God, the kingdom of God has come to you. That's what he's talking about. That's the context. That's the context of these verses. The seed being sown. It's an individual situation. There's a reason that these are put there with this parable of the sower. With the light under a bushel. With taking heed how we hear. And so, just in case you're not convinced yet, how else is the mustard seed used in Scripture? We think it's used often. Might be surprised to find that it's not used very often. It's actually only used in the Gospels by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's used nowhere in the Old Testament, and it's used nowhere else in the New Testament, except by Jesus Christ. And it's used in this parable, and this parable is repeated in Luke and in Matthew, and then it's used two other times. And they're similar. In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he says, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. This is a situation where they had tried to cast out a demon out of a young boy, and they were unable to do it. And they asked Jesus to do it, and he casts out the demon. And he's, how come we weren't able to do it, is their question. And then he answers. He says unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you. What's the context there? Is it the context of the kingdom of God growing into this massive kingdom throughout the whole earth? Or is it the context of an individual's faith? I put it to you as the individual's faith that he's speaking about. Not the faith of a group of churches. Not the faith of some large indivisible church. It's speaking about the faith of an individual. That if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, that you'll be able to say to a mountain, be removed, and it will remove. What's he talking about back in Mark chapter 4? The kingdom of God is like unto a mustard seed that will grow up. He uses it again in Luke chapter 17. And it's a similar situation. It's not the same situation, but it's a similar thing that takes place where Jesus is speaking to the disciples about a number of things. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. You notice that they got it right where their faith comes from. It comes from the Lord. They say, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. It's the same context, isn't it? It's an individual situation. They've asked to increase their faith, and he says, if you had the faith as small as the grain of a mustard seed, you'd be able to say to this tall tree, be removed, and be planted in the sea, and it would happen. Those are the only other times that Jesus uses the mustard seed as a parable or as a teaching tool. And each time it is on an individual basis. And I put it to you, that's the same thing he's doing here in this parable. The kingdom of God doesn't come to a group. It comes to an individual. When does it come? It comes at conversion. It comes when the seed is grown to maturity and bears fruit. And what does he talk about with the mustard seed? It's the smallest when it's there. But when it's sown in the earth, what happens? It groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs. You can call it a tree, you can call it a bush, but it's a large bush, growing to be somewhere between 9 to 12 foot tall. And it has many branches. So that what takes place? The fowls of the air, they come and shelter under it, the shadow of the bush. They're not making a nest you'll read in commentaries and they'll say the birds of the air are coming to nest in the mustard tree. No, they're not coming to nest in the mustard tree. They're coming to be underneath in the shelter of the mustard tree. That's where they're going, in the shadow of the tree. You say, well, what do you mean by this? Well, what does Jesus talk about a Christian ought to be? What is it that he's talking about in the Sermon on the Mount? That a Christian ought to be light. Ye are the light of the world. That a Christian ought to be salt. A preserver of society. That Christians will have an influence. And that's why he uses the mustard seed, because the mustard seed, although it starts small, grows into the greatest tree in the garden. Grows into the greatest of the herbs. That small beginning, that small seed that's sown, has strength in it. Where does that strength come from? It doesn't come from the seed itself. It doesn't come from the person. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from the Spirit of God giving them strength. Helping them to be salt and light. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So you see in Galatians chapter 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The mustard tree, the mustard seed analogy that he's using in this parable is an individual basis to show that the Spirit of God strengthens the believer. So that when you take that first parable, and here is the wheat that has grown up, and it is harvested, that's conversion. Now that there's conversion, imagine it being a mustard seed. And it's planted. And there's strength in it. There's strength in it because it will never waver. It will never be cast out. Because the Spirit of God is keeping it. The Comforter has come. And He's going to keep those that the Lord has saved. He's brought them to maturity. He's brought them to conversion through the conviction, the convicting work, convicting of sin, showing the righteousness of God, the glory and honor of God, and that there will be judgment to come. And that bears fruit in conversion. And that when that person is converted, they grow. They grow in grace and in knowledge and in strength. Not because of themselves, but because of the Spirit of God working in them. So that the fowls of the air, those on the outside, take refuge in them. Speak to Christians that have been Christians for years, and you can find that people will come to them in their times of trouble, in their times of difficulty. Because Christians have something that they don't have. There's peace and wisdom that Christians have that others don't have. And they come, and they ask for help. And they do it time and again. How is that possible? Because it's a mustard seed. And it's grown into a tree. It's grown into a bush that gives protection. So that you see with these parables the theme that Jesus is teaching. It's about a seed. It's about a seed that's sown, the gospel seed, as it goes forward that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners and rose on the third day, showing he had victory over sin and death, and that going to him, asking for forgiveness, trusting him, and you have eternal life. That's the seed being sown, is being cast abroad, and the Spirit uses it, and the Spirit convicts and helps us to see our sin and helps us see God as he is, holy and just. Helps us to see judgment to come and brings that seed to maturity in faith and conversion. But it doesn't stop there. It continues to grow. Just as the mustard seed grows into that tree, grows into that strength. That's the kingdom of God at work. That's the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God that Jesus is preaching to those people. And that's the kingdom of God that's still preached today. It hasn't changed. And it won't change. Because the word of God will not pass away. And we thank God for that. That it's of him and not of us. And so we point you to the Savior. Amen.